All right, I want to talk to you about post-traumatic winning. Okay, because you are kind of a, you're a little bit of an example of it. You seem addicted to being the Grinch.
Addicted to being the Grinch? Yes. I'm the nicest guy you've ever met.
You were just, your wife just walked in the room and said, quit yelling. Okay?
She just left. I just heard the car. She just left the house.
Okay, so, well, the Grinch, when he hears the Who people and his heart grows, you seem to have found that when you were in the hospital helping vets get jobs and have never gotten over that experience.
Well, yeah, but there's a background to that, Mac. I got back in 68. I went and spent a career with Turner Construction. I did the usual shit when you get into a career in construction. I worked 14 hours a day. And literally with the international work, you're working 7 days a week. And I travel. I was 180 days a year going around the world to run all this crap. And I basically kept that goddamn cage locked up that your Navy crosswind talks about that holds all the monkeys. Okay?
Right.
The first Gulf War came. I went to the parade in New York when they marched up Trump from Wall Street, and then I went to the parade in Washington, D.C., and I watched Marine veterans with combat ribbons and Purple Hearts getting hugged by the girls and all this thing. It felt great, but the goddamn war had only lasted 2 weeks, or longer, but, you know, all practical purposes,
right,
when we went into Iraq. So I was really feeling good about stuff. But I never really allowed the box to open about my experience of Vietnam and thinking about it and all that shit. I got to know this buddy of mine who lost a leg in Vietnam, a federal judge named Jack Farley. He and I would talk a lot about this stuff. And separately and independently, we started visiting the wounded 17 years ago. He at Walter Reed and me at Bethesda, and they would compare notes. And what I hadn't realized, I'd go over there, I'd take the metro, I'd go over to Bethesda, I'd talk my way in the gate, I'd go find a Marine warrant officer who was part of Marine liaison, and I'd say, can you get me up on the floor so I can listen to some of these kids today? And what I had learned from Jack Farley is you go in and you listen. You don't tell them stories about what you did. You don't tell them what a great Marine or soldier you were. You listen. And if you listen, they'll open up and they'll tell you anything and everything you can ever imagine. And I would get on the goddamn metro to go back to the Carrollton parking garage, and I'd be bawling my eyes out on the goddamn metro after spending 2 hours at Walter Reed listening. And what I hadn't realized was it was becoming addictive. And instead of going, you know, twice a month, I started going weekly, and then I started going more, and then I started getting money for scholarships, and I started getting vets jobs. But just like listening to what you and the gunner are going through, when you get involved with this, all of a sudden, it was unleashing a whole bunch of hidden monkeys in my mind, but I had a solution to how to deal with it, because I felt, Jesus, if I can prevent one other, two others, five others from having the same issues, I've got an accomplishment. I think I told you the day we were at Walter Reed when we had lunch there, that if I go home at night and had gotten one wounded vet to laugh, I did a home run. And that's what I began to learn and realize.
That's post-traumatic winning. So, you were doing your own version of post-traumatic winning.
Even before you figured out those words.
Yes.
And that's exactly right.
Yes.
And, you know, people have done it with healing waters, teaching them to fly fish.
Right.
People have done it by taking them on skiing adventures. They've done it by taking them. But I found a way that worked for me and the handful of wounded veterans like Pat and Patty Iran and Chris Santiago that helped me with 100 entrepreneurs. If we can help a vet begin to fill that black hole in his brain with something positive, God damn it, we're doing something that ultimately is going to end up surely reducing the odds of suicide. And you gotta put some kind of injection in that black hole of something that gives them positive thoughts. And when I listen to the gutter talk on the phone and he's stopping people on the street corner to talk to them about helping them, it's really true. And, you know, whether he likes it or not, he can't stop doing it now.
But, well, you can.
You know, it's all what you're talking about of dealing with the post-traumatic and making it into a positive thing. And how do you take it to help one? Because if you can help one, you can sure as hell help two and three. And, you know, I would have never had the conversation I just had with you 30 minutes ago about Vietnam 10 years ago. I wouldn't have been able to talk about it.
Why not?
But, you know, by being able to go out and do something, that I get great satisfaction.
Hey, you just muted your phone, butthead. Stand by. Yes. What happened?
My battery went dead on my phone.
What the hell? You would figure that, like, some big construction wise guy would figure that shit out before he got on the phone. The
we were talking about, you know, winning the post-traumatic battle. And really, by working with and listening to and helping and mentoring the wounded has become my answer solution. And it's far and away the best thing I've ever done.
You know, and that was my epiphany. The win is getting to the point where you're giving.
Exactly.
That's the win. The win is, and giving, a lot of people would tell you, well, that's an act of love. Right.
And Jeremiah will tell you this.
But that's why, you know, it's interesting. That's why he could never say, when you hear him talk about having to cut back on his own public speaking, you know, and
right.
He, you know, that is, he feels compelled to do that because of the way it makes him feel. But he's also, as he's grown up and become an adult, he's learned how to balance that as he, you know, has become a father and a husband and takes those jobs seriously. But there's always that pull, and it's not an easy pull to say no to. So, but here's my point. So to me, post-traumatic winning it doesn't take a genius to figure it out. If a guy like me, but that's how you learn to live with that which troubles you your whole life. That's how it becomes a softer landing is in the act of giving. And that's why you couldn't, like, I don't know what kind of barrier you could put up around Bethesda, Walter Reed, to keep Nielsen out. But you wouldn't be able to keep him out until you killed him. Okay?
Yeah. Because I'll meet him outside the gate. With my pizza. But you think about the multiplier effect, Mac. You think about you and the gunner and your hundreds of veteran friends that are reaching out to do something with vets. And I don't care what the hell you do with them. If you take them to a ball game, 100 other things, or you talk to them about trauma, or you do this, all of a sudden these numbers begin to multiply and multiply and multiply. And, you know, I'm sure we've had over 2,000 wounded vets come to our classes, both at Fort Belvoir and Bethesda. But I can't tell you how many called me back 2, 3, 4 years later, and they're out doing something, or they're helping someone else. It's a complete multiplier, and when you think of all the problems with the suicides and all the other stuff, this is one thing that really works. And, you know, Bouldercrest has put it in one little goddamn fabulous campground, but it works.
And I'll tell you what, and even better, they put it in a book. They put it in an audio book in terms of how they help you get your hands around how you've changed as a human being.
Right? And Josh Goldberg is one of the smartest guys I know,
right.
And he really knows it and understands it and gets it.
Right. And what you need to understand is, look, you're not a different person. You know, 85% of you is the exact shitty human being that you were before you went and experienced this stuff. So you've been marginally changed, and you need to be trained to account for, you know, that marginal change.
And that training, the more I thought about it, that's the right word.
Oh, and them choosing it very, very deliberately, right?
As opposed to therapy and that kind of stuff, which all has a medical content.
Right, but I will say this. You know, somebody asked me, well, Mac, what are you going to say when you're giving your pitch if some, like, psychiatrist stands up and says, you think therapy's bullshit, don't you? I know guys like you. And I'd say, no, I don't. Well, it's kind of bullshit. But that's just my personal opinion. Here's what I think.
It works.
Yeah, exactly. There is a percentage of us that have underlying really significant mental health issues. And for those people, I absolutely believe that the medications are important and necessary, and the talk therapy that you're talking about is important. For the rest of us, and again, this is just me using my 90%. 90% of us, what do we need? We need training on what happened to us, right? We need training on how to manage our lives. So we need training in terms of recognizing our triggers. And then we need to develop wellness techniques, wellness practices that deal with that kind of stuff. And then we need to get the understanding that once you get your hands around that, do not be afraid to help other people, because in that help, you will become the Grinch.
And the reason you and the gunner have immense credibility is because you guys have been there and done that and seen that. Every time I went to Walter Reed, all I ever had to do to talk to the wounded veteran was saying, I'm Bob Nielsen, I was a Marine of Vietnam. And for better or worse, I had instant credibility. They didn't know all the times I was an asshole, but in their mind, they could talk to me. And boy, that just opened the door. And you saw it when we were at Walter Reed. Every time we turned around to talk to another vet, and some had been, you know, discharged 4 or 5 years ago, they'd come over and talk to us like old friends. Because
right.
They knew they could talk. You weren't going to run and write a report. You weren't going to file something with the command. You weren't going to go over and have them restricted for the weekend. You were just listening to what they had to say. And I believe when you deal with people with trauma, that, to me, is the best medicine in the world. You know, you get your sister on the podcast, holy mackerel.
So, but you figured this out on your own, or you just followed what made
So I stumbled into it, and because I had a buddy, Jack Farley, who lost a leg in Vietnam, became a federal judge, I had somebody I could talk to find out whether my ideas were completely out of whack or whether it made sense.
Right.
And we just kept going there and listening, and finally he had set up a peer visitor program at Walter Reed where they train new amputees that have been recently wounded to be there as visitors when the really new ones come in from the battlefield. And, you know, they had Vietnam vets, and now we got Iraq and Afghan vets. And when you come in, you first lost a leg or an arm, there's nothing like seeing somebody worse than you getting on with their life. It's great medicine. And he had done that. So it began to work on all of us. There was some real merit to doing this. And what I found is at some point in the rehab process, you can begin to talk about entrepreneurship. You can begin to talk about jobs. You can begin to talk about, you know, joint and turn construction. Go doing a whole bunch of things. You can't do it on day one. The kid doesn't want to hear it the week after he lost the leg. But you might be able to do it, you know, on 9 months, a year.
You've been going back there for how many years now?
It'll be 17 years January. Okay. 3,000 visits.
So when I describe for people, when you stick your hand out and you help somebody, do you still get the same great feeling from that you did?
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's day one. And I don't care what rank they are or what branch of service or male or female, you get the same thing. I've had women amputees that are blown up in Iraq and Afghanistan open up their whole inner soul to you.
So actually, the experience of going to war opens a door for you that you can then use to access and help other people.
It gave me credibility. And in their mind, very simply, well, this guy isn't going to bullshit me. They didn't know we'd done the man on the moon, but they at least, in the formula in their head when they first returned from war, if this guy's been there, he might understand what I'm thinking.
Okay, so final question. When I say that we as veterans need to broaden our lens and not only do this with our own veteran friends and our own veteran community, but also touch the lives of others, does that make sense to you?
Yep. Unequivocally. And it's going to make the people you're helping better, but it's going to make you better.
Right. So ultimately, this door that we go through as people that have gone to war, it's ultimately a door to a better place if you seize it.
It's
right?
A stepping stone to a much better place, and you're going to be able to accomplish far more than you ever would have realized. Instead of just getting out and going back to Starbucks to be a barista. It is a door opener both ways, for the person you're helping, but also for you.
It that changes the prism. You know what I'm saying, Bob? So when you hear it like that and says, instead of it being a door into this horrible experience, and obviously there's elements that are horrible. But
sure. But
let me tell you, I don't know if you've looked at it, but when you looked at the interview with Jack Riley, and you see the pictures of those.
Twice. I've listened to it twice.
If you looked at the pictures of those Marines standing around smoking cigarettes, I'm sure it must bring back.
19 years old and not even old enough to smoke.
Right. I'm sure it brought back memories for you. When you see them looking like human beings, you can see that was the time of their lives. Now, interspersed with that are horrible events. But if you can look at that as a gate, as a doorway to a place where you can then turn around and minister to others, which is what Bob does. He sticks his hands out, and he's there to take them to a better place if they want to go.
And all you got to do is say, tell me what's on your mind. And Riley does it, and look what it's done for him.
Riley's
the guy that did Bravo.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Ken Rogers. No, there are.
Anyway. You talk to Barney Barnum. You know, Barney Barnum's got the added burden of being the Medal of Honor winner. He does it every day, 50 times a day.
Yeah, that's not easy. The Jack Riley interview, if you have not listened to that, go listen to it.
Oh, my God, it's unbelievable.
Vietnam.
And he was in the worst of the worst. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't even conceive not being a bumbling idiot after that day.
All right, sir. Anything else that you want to get off your chest in this day?
Well, you really started my Monday off on the right foot.
Yes.
My pulse is about 165 right now.
Before.
My blood pressure is probably 330 over 200, so I'm off to a great roll.
Go do some yoga. Go find a labyrinth.
Great talking, Matt. Always.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, Bob. That is the patron saint of all Marine Radio, Bob Nielsen. Bob, I don't want to give him too much credit, but he envisioned this. Talking about it would lead to good things. He envisioned this. And he's not that smart either. That's the killer. All right, we'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.